Well, hello, this is Roger Molina on the Bold Rose channel of Creative Disturbance. I'm delighted to be here today with Yusra Khan, who's a master's student in neuroscience here at UT Dallas. So Yusra, just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're interested in.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be a part of this. I'm doing my master's at UTD in neuroscience and focusing on human-computer interaction. I'm very interested in product management and user experience and hope to start my career in that field.
One of the things as we were chatting to get ready for this discussion is both you and I have rather hybrid backgrounds and hybrid interests. So in your case, you have a number of areas of professional activity you have a background in that range from design to sales and marketing to neuroscience. So tell us a little bit about your professional background and interests.
Yeah, so I started out with my bachelor's in psychology, and as I was getting closer to the end of my degree, I realized that I was very interested in organizational science and then also neuropsychology, which was two very different fields. I decided to go and start working, and the first job that I found was the one that I came, when I came to Dallas, and it was to work in as a district sales manager for Avon Products, which is a company of mostly women, and I was responsible for managing about 560 individual sales representatives in Fort Worth, and my job was to motivate them, to coach them, to help them become more effective sales leaders. So I decided to go into sales, and I learned about a lot about sales and marketing, and then eventually I shifted towards target tech, and this was also a sales and management job in which I was again managing sales and working with the different types of leaders all in the North Texas, Louisiana territory and teaching them how to sell cell phones. I worked with Sprint, Verizon, AT&T, Apple, Samsung, and it was very fun.
A question that came to my mind is, so how does your background in neuroscience and psychology affect your thinking about those kind, your work in sales and marketing?
Yeah, so that's really interesting because I honestly really enjoyed the sales and marketing aspect. And when I was in the field, I always thought about from a psychological perspective of why people are buying some things, why people like certain people. I did a lot of recruiting, so you know, I thought about the body language that people had, and I had to make decisions as far as like who would be the next store leader, and these were really crucial decisions. So I got to really think about from a psychological perspective, like who to hire, who's going to make a great leader. And when I thought about psychology, I felt like there was always this gap in the conversation, right? Like I wanted to know the reason behind why I was making those decisions. And that's when I started to get into the neuroscience aspect, because I think that in my perspective, psychology was a little bit incomplete for me, and I had to get into the science of this. So that's when I decided to come back to school and study neuroscience.
Yeah, so there, you know, is one of the, it's an interesting fact right now that the neurosciences really are at an interesting phase of their development. On the one hand, there are all these new diagnostic technologies that allow you to try and look at what the brain's actually doing, not just, you know, the psychology aspect, but what the internal processes are in the brain. And so the whole area of how you apply our understanding of human psychology and neurology to decision making is a sort of an interesting problem. Where, of course, we all grow up in environments where we make decisions without always knowing the background to that decision. Let me just bootstrap on that. So the other thing that you and I share is a background where we've not lived in the same place all our life, which is true of many people today, of course. So tell us a little bit about your geographic migration over your life so far.
So I am originally from Karachi, Pakistan. I grew up in the city of Karachi, and family moved here when I was about 9 years old. And we moved to a small town in Connecticut called Terreville, Connecticut. So I spent most of my life there. And then when I graduated from the University of Hartford in Connecticut, I made like an Excel sheet to find the best place to move. And in that process, I narrowed it down to Houston and Dallas. The reason for that is because the weather here is excellent. And then the next best thing is that there's so many job opportunities. And as a recent graduate, I wanted to make sure that I put myself in the right place. So, and I love it here. It's a great place to be.
Okay, so let me just leapfrog on that. So you talked about how people make decisions in your sales and marketing work and interviewing people and so on. So, you know, within a family, especially if there are many children, some of the children, for some reason, decide to stay at home with their parents, and others, for whatever set of reasons, go live and work somewhere else. And so clearly, even though you're the eldest child in a family, often the eldest child is under pressure to stay at home. You've chosen to move geographically as part of your decision-making process.
Right. But you know, the interesting thing is that when I moved down to Dallas, I moved my whole family with me. Uh-huh. Whereas my younger sister, she's still in Connecticut, yeah. And she's studying. And I think she's not planning to move back with the family. But I made sure that, you know, that my family stays with me. So I'll make sure that we'll always kind of stay close together.
Right, so just to push the migrant and settler sort of discussion a little bit further. So indeed, you're in a family that has moved physically a number of times during your life, as I have been. But I've also been an intellectual migrant. And so, as you know, I started off in physics, then in astrophysics. I'm now working in the School of Art and Design. And so in my, you know, when I was being trained as a student, that was against the standard model. Mm-hmm. Because normally, you know, there was this metaphor of the pipeline, that you got into the educational pipeline and then you found a job and then you worked with that company for the rest of your life or then in that profession. Whereas clearly I have hybrid interests. And so, you know, I have navigated to follow different paths. And so I think, as I told you, the program here, when I got here, they talked about training people for jobs that don't exist yet. And mm-hmm. so clearly your hybrid background, both intellectually and physically,
yeah.
allows you to be a lifelong migrant, both professionally and physically.
Yeah,
you want to pick up on that?
Yeah, that's very interesting because right now, like, I'm starting to apply for jobs in the field of, in actually multiple fields, because I think I qualify for different types of roles because of my background. But I'm always very hesitant because, you know, there's this rule about one-page resume, and I've had so many different jobs. I've worked, you know, as I mentioned, I worked as a diversity educator. I worked as an interpreter, sales management. You know, different hats that I've worn. So I never know which jobs to put on my resume because I'm not sure if I'm applying for a job in user experience, they would consider the fact that I speak, you know, 4 or 5 languages, if that's even important, right? Or related to that field. Because even though I speak multiple languages, I don't necessarily have any technical background of programming languages.
Okay, so I'm going to leapfrog onto that. So, you know, the other way of talking about this is all of us are hybrids in some way, right? We have multiple interests. In some cases, you have multiple CVs
right.
that somehow define you in a certain kind of way. And, you know, some people have a website for each of their identities, and then future employers will look at that identity if you're applying for that job and so on. But one of the interesting things that's happening now is that online companies now know all about all your identities, right?
Right.
So if you use GPS in Google Maps, they know that, you know, yeah, you go to work, but you also go to the movies, you also go to this kind
right.
of restaurant.
Very interesting.
And so then around here, this concept of the data body has come up, which is actually all the data about you is integrated by these companies. So Amazon not only knows what books you buy, but what underwear you like, where you've worked, what you're thinking about for vacations.
Right.
And so that in fact, where your data body is the whole of you.
Exactly.
Whereas the resume is only that very narrow puss of you. And so, you know, maybe in a few years when you're hiring someone, you'll have access to their data body.
Yeah, I think that's a really great approach, actually. I think I would want somebody to like judge me based off of, you know, me as a person on an everyday versus just like my resume, you know, or my GPA to be exact, right? Because there's reasons for.
Although that gets, you know, that's going to get us, and it already is, into this whole area of data privacy, right?
Right.
I mean, these companies now know things that your spouse may not know.
Right.
Because they know all the data traces you've left about your activities, whether it's work, shopping, daydreaming, and you just Google something because you wanted to know about it.
Right.
And so it is going to be interesting, and obviously this is a good area where the neuroscience comes in, which is obviously you are one physical body, but then in your professional work, often only that very narrow part of you is what's made visible.
Absolutely.
So maybe the title of this podcast could be Data Bodies of Hybrid Amphibians or something.
I think, actually, that sounds good. We could do that.
So maybe the next time we chat, we can follow that line of discussion a little
bit. That sounds good to me.
Okay, thank you, user. It's been great talking to you today, and I look forward to continuing the conversation.
Thank you so much.